Okay, so this is Jada, Khadija, and Isabella again talking about How to Lie with Statistics by Darrell Huff. And for this podcast, we're going to be talking about chapters 2-6. So I will begin. The first thing I wanted to bring attention to was something that was on page 37. The quote is, "Can they get away with telling lies and in such big type at that?" And it was talking about toothpaste and an advertisement saying that 23% fewer cavities using this toothpaste. Like, overall, that toothpaste is going to decrease cavities. And it made me think about all the advertisements you see with different products, like toothpaste, soaps, facial cleansers, even movies. Like, they give you these statistics and it's like, where do these come from? Like, if you ever see movie trailers, so many of them will say it's the number one movie or something, but how can they all be the number one movie, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just questions like that, and it makes me think about the sample sizes they chose when they're talking about, well, this acne cleanser clears about 35, whatever the case may be. Like, where did these statistics come from? Who were the people that you chose to partake in this and stuff like that?
All right, so... Okay, so I just wanted to touch base on, like, around page 39, page 38. So, in the beginning of chapter 4, there are two children, this Peter is, and Linda, and...
No, 39 is chapter 3. I mean...
Yeah.
What, 2?
So, whatever. Three? So, whatever. Not 39, but in the beginning of chapter 4. So, there's these two children, Peter and Linda, and they were given, like, intelligence tests, you know? And Linda scored a 101, and then Peter scored a 98. So... Like, if you get an 100 on the IQ test, it is considered to be normal. But I don't get, like, I'm just, like, confused about how they determine that. Like, how do you determine what's normal? Like, what's the normal intelligence? And who, like, I don't know. Like, who makes up the rules for which what is normal and what is a normal intelligence? Like, and who creates a test? Who scores them? Like, you know, I just wanted to know, like, what's the purpose of them?
I don't see the purpose of them either. I mean... You don't need an IQ test. What is it for? You don't need them to get a job. You don't need them to go to a certain school. I mean, they go off your grades and your SAT scores and things like that, but nobody cares about IQ tests. Like, I don't see what the point of them is. And then, like Isabella was saying, how do you even determine what, quote, normal intelligence is? Your intelligence... differs depending on how old you are, where you live at, you know, things like that. So there's a bunch of factors that contribute to how smart you are. And what does smart even mean? Does that mean that you memorize things easily? Does it mean that you are a visual person and you can visually, like, remember? Like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't know what smart is supposed to mean. And how do you have IQ tests when you have different ages taking the test? Like, what's on the IQ test? I never seen one before, so I don't know what's on them. I don't know.
I just don't get how they score them and how, like,
I don't
who
see
even is the
people, I don't like, see the point of them.
Yeah. What do you think, Khadija?
What do you think about IQ tests?
I don't even know what an IQ test is. Like, I mean, what is an IQ?
What's your intelligence?
Yeah, your intelligence
level.
I don't know, from experience, like, my family friend, they have, their son, his name is Ahan, and he's really, really smart. Like, they noticed, like, as he was, like, growing, like, he's, like, what is he? He's in first grade, so he's, like, 7 or 8. So, they noticed, like, as he was getting older, like, around 3, 4, whatever, like, he was, like, really smart for his age. And I don't know what that really means, like, he's real smart for his age. But, like, they just noticed that he, like, caught onto things more easily than, like, the other kids his age, and he was just, like, it seemed like he was more advanced than them, and so they took him to take an IQ test to see if he was a baby genius or something like that, and it turns out that he was, but, like, how can you determine that? I don't know. That's what it made me think of when I read this in chapter 4.
I mean, I guess it has to do with, like, your brain development, and, how, because I know, like, in Science and Society, we talked about this, Isabella, you would know because you sit in my Science and Society class, how we talked about, like, babies and how when you're young is when you learn, like, the basic
stuff
yeah. of life, and, like, there are different parts of your brain. So I guess if you're, like, quote, advanced, that means your brain, like, I don't know. Maybe you got some extra stuff going on in your brain. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe God dropped some sparkles.
You got some.
All right. So we're going to go back to, like, chapter... I mean, I think it's chapter 3 on page 39 about, like, the coin flips and stuff.
So when he was talking about the coin flips, it made me think about the conversation we had in the beginning of the class and how we used to talk about the coin flips. So a lot of the times I feel like coin flips are not really reliable. It is, but it's not, because I feel like most of the time, we don't know which way it's going to go. Sometimes it may even just go on heads, and someone may say that it's unfair. But if we were voting for heads and it only went on heads, then we would say the game is fair. So a lot of times it doesn't work in our kind of, you know, our kind of, you know, perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember Mr. Miles would ask us, like, what's the percent, like, what's the probability of getting heads? And we would all say, oh, it's one half, like, it's 50%. But then when we kept flipping the coin over and over again and we had all those assignments about coin flips, it turns out that that's actually not accurate, because the more you flip, you'll figure out that the probability is not anywhere near 50-50 at all. And it was kind of surprising, because it was like, I thought it was 50-50 all this time, but when you actually test it out, it's like, oh, well, I guess that does make sense. Bless you.
Thanks. So, okay. Yeah, I didn't really care for the coin flips. I was confused about them when we studied them in class. Like, I don't know. I just didn't think, like, I didn't understand how we were supposed to do math on them, because I didn't think that they were accurate, you know. But, all right, so now I'm switching again to, like, 20 pages above. On page 59, so there's this illustration, and, like, usually in a book, illustrations are supposed to go with the text, and I'm supposed to understand it. That's how I learn. I learn visually. But, like, in this book, like, it seems to me like I don't really understand what the picture is really saying. Like, I get what the writing is saying, but the picture is kind of weird. So I'll just read, like, the last paragraph. So it says, in the end, the old gold people were ordered to cease and desist from such misleading advertising. That didn't make any difference. The good had been milked from that idea long before. As a New Yorker says, there'll always be an ad man. And then the picture, it's like a man in, like, a lab suit, like, taking notes, and he says, what's your decision? And there's this boy sitting, or this man sitting down, like, blindfolded, testing different things, like A, B, C. And he said, I like the second cup of coffee the best. What do you guys think that has to do with it? Like, I didn't really understand how that was representing the text.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just seem like in this book, like, it's just really weird. Like, it doesn't really correlate to me that much. You guys have any ideas, opinions?
I don't really know. I guess I would just think that the picture is talking about different advertisements and how people use them and the response that they get from the advertisements. So, I mean, it doesn't really show how he's advertising the cigarettes or what he did to, like, what he's representing, because it looks like there's four options, A, B, C, and D. Wait, huh? I don't know, because it's talking about cigarettes, and it looks like cigarettes is in boxes A, B, C, and D, but then he's talking about he likes coffee the best, and I see three cups that I guess were supposed to be coffee. I'm not sure. I don't really get it. I kind of just paid no attention to that as I was reading. But
yeah. I guess it's just trying to, like, represent
advertisements and, like, yeah, how people react to them. Because, of course, in advertisement, you're going to make your product sound the best.
Yeah, and then in, like, the picture, too, like, it's kind of showing, like, I guess he's trying to pick for a lab or something, like, whatever he wants the best, like, which one. I guess it's, like, a taste tester person. So that also, like, brought me to think about, like, in statistics, how, like, I don't know, statistics is, like, a game. Like, nothing, like, there's, I don't really think that there's, like, a set answer for things in, that have to do with statistics. Like, just like this, like, he said, I like the second cup of coffee the best. Like, just one person testing something that they like. That's just, like, statistics where, like, you test things.
It's a box of chocolate. Yeah. Never know what you're
never know what you're going to get. Seriously. All right, let's switch gears.
A lot of, I saw in chapter 5, he was talking about, like, picto charts and, like, mm-hmm. bar graphs and stuff. And,
yeah, I remember we did that in class. I hated that.
I don't really remember doing picto charts. Like, I don't...
Well, I don't remember
picto charts. I've never really seen them.
Yeah. I thought picto chart was the website online.
I don't even know
no, how the website. Picto chart.
I mean, it is one, but I'm talking about, like...
Oh, it's, yeah. Okay. So, like, a bar graph and stuff, yeah.
So, like, on 61, there's a man... on a graph, and I don't know how I'm supposed to read that. I have no idea what that means. Even reading, I still don't, I just don't get it.
Let me see.
But bar graphs, I actually do like. That's probably one of my favorite graphs to do. One, because it's easy to understand, it's easy to draw, but I just feel like it's an accurate representation when you're comparing two things because you can see the difference clearly.
All right, so this is what it says. Like, that the graph is trying to explain. So it says, begin with your paper rolled into squares, name the months along the bottom, indicate billions of dollars up the side, plot your points, and draw a line. Your graph will look like this. And there's, like, a man, and his head is, like, the line, the linear line is, like, his head.
He's
is, like,
chopping his head off.
So it says, now that's clear. It shows what happened during the year, and it shows it month by month. He who runs may see and understand because the whole graph is a proportion, and there is zero line. There is a zero line at the bottom for... comparison.
I don't really see the point of them just draw the line.
Right? Yeah, why do they draw the man? I don't know. That like confuses me. Like I said earlier, like the pictures are like really weird and like not helping me understand the writing.
And I feel a lot of the times Darrell's trying to he kind of makes things more complicated than what they're supposed to be. Yeah. Like he can just say something, but then he has to like back it up with a some kind of conclusion, picture, some kind of story or a picture with a man with a line drawn through his head. And I don't understand that, so I think it's useless.
Yeah, and I thought this book was like supposed to be easy, like how to lie with statistics. I also don't. Have you guys ever think about that? Have you understood how to lie at all with statistics?
No, not really.
I don't know. I just feel like this is, like, a rule book or something.
I mean, the book, it's kind of like I'm just reading it. Like, I'm not really...
into it?
Yeah, not really. Like, there's stuff in the book, like, the whole experiment with the toothpaste and, like, it makes me think about stuff that I see and it mm-hmm. makes me think about stuff, but it doesn't help me to...
understand.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. It just makes me reflect on stuff. All right, so that we're just don't guess, cut me off.
I'm sorry, jeez. So this is the last thing like we're gonna talk about in this podcast. So go ahead, Khadija.
So on page 68, I see that I see another bar graph, and it says the title is How to Lie with Statistics, and then on the vertical side it says Rotunda in USA, and the other side says dollars per week, and it shows just the difference between the earnings between Rotunda and the USA. Then he continues to draw another picture that illustrates better what he's talking about. And on 69, a quote that he says is, the catch, of course, is this. Because the second bag is twice as high as the first, always twice as wide. It accompanies not twice, but four times as much as the area of the page. The numbers still say 2 to 1, but the visual impression, which is dominating one most of the time, says the ratio is 4 to 1 or worse. So basically, he's just trying to come up with a picture, visual impression of what it's supposed to be like. He wants people to understand, like, the dimensions and the ratios as of what he's talking about. Because saying a lot of words, because when he says a lot of words, I really don't understand. But now I understand what he means by Rotunda versus USA. Obviously, the left, the bigger bag is the USA, and the left is a Rotunda, which is the smaller bag. So now I can understand what he's saying, which is better.
All right, that's all for this podcast.
Bye.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Suckers.